If you got something to write with, get it out, because we're going to be writing a little bit. There's pens in between the chairs there. You can pull up a hymnal, and there's probably some pens down there. If not, you can borrow with your neighbor. And while you're thinking about this, what I want you to do, it's important that we write this down, because I think it's too easy to just write off. No pun intended. What I want you to write, just find a spot on your bulletin somewhere. Could be the cover, maybe, or the back, wherever. On your bulletin, I want you to write down something that you were thinking, you know, for yourself, that's just not fair. That's just not fair. Ugh, a gripe, a grumble, a complaint. I know you all got them. Some people were telling me on Saturday night, oh, I don't complain about anything. I have got so much stuff. I got too much stuff. And I said, there you go. You got too much stuff. That's what you're complaining about. Anyway, everybody's got some grumble. It's okay. That's what we're talking about today. We're kind of owning it. You can just own it. Write it down. That's not fair. That's not fair. Oh, it makes me think about my brother-in-law, my wife Emily's sister's husband. They lived in California, and they had purchased a house in California. They're both pretty well off. They work for medical device companies as engineers. And they sold their house in California. Now, if you sell your house in California and buy another house in California, you're going to break even. But if you sell your house in California and move to Minnesota, you're going to get a bigger house. And that's exactly what they did. They got a much bigger house. And so one day, my wife gets off the phone with her sister, and they're talking about moving in their new house. And she said, oh, yeah, you know, our brother-in-law just went out and bought 3 big screen TVs for their new house. And I was like, I don't even have space in my house for 3 big screen TVs. I'd have to like wallpaper one wall if I had 3 big screen TVs. And I was just like, ah, I should be happy with my TV. I have a TV. That's enough, right? Makes me think of a joke. There's a pastor and a taxi driver, a New York City taxi driver. Hey, oh, from New York City, yeah. And they're up in heaven talking to St. Peter, and the taxi driver goes first. And St. Peter says to the taxi driver, come on in, come on in. I got this big old mansion just for you here in heaven. It's got all the features, everything you need. And the taxi driver says, hey, what do you know? Thank you, all right. And the pastor comes up, and he's really expectant. He's excited. He's like, ooh, I saw that taxi driver. New York City taxi driver, he got that big mansion. I wonder what's waiting for me, all right. And the pastor goes up to St. Peter and says, all right, show me my mansion, St. Peter. St. Peter goes, well, we got this, like, studio apartment over here. That's for you. And the pastor's like, what? That taxi driver got a big old mansion. I was the preacher. I preached God's word. And St. Peter said, well, yeah, but when you preach God's word, people slept. And when that taxi driver drove, people prayed. Alexis got it right on the nose this morning. If you got kids, you know what's the most common phrase in your house. It's not I love you or I'm sorry. It's not fair. It's not fair. Why does she get that and I don't? Ah, it's not fair. It's so easy to say, even if you're not a kid, it's not fair. Why did they get that, not me? It's not fair. So today's story, the parable, in one way, is about the commandment, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not be griping and grumbling and unthankful and ungrateful and jealous. Thou shalt not covet. We're going to talk about that a little bit. I think it's the most forgotten commandment. But you got to remember, thou shalt not covet is in the same list as thou shalt not murder. And there's no ranking. Right? It's the same thing in terms of like badness. Like we should be avoiding coveting. And so we want to talk about that. And Jesus is talking about it today. We're going to step into the story a little bit. Imagine yourself as one of these workers at the beginning of the day, a day laborer. You don't know if you're going to get a job that day. You don't know if somebody's going to come and hire you. And you're standing out there and you probably know all these guys. Because you stand out there in the marketplace every day waiting for a job to get hired. You know, how's Sally doing? How are the kids? You're there. You're all equal. Oh, what are you going to do if you get hired today? Oh, I'm going to fix the hole in my roof. Oh, I'm going to have this special dinner for my kid's birthday. You know, whatever. They're all equal at the beginning of the day. And then the landowner comes and says, hey, I need some people to get hired. How about you guys? Okay. Oh, good. You got a job. All right. Cool. You know, some more people come, get hired. Oh, you got a job. All right. Great. You know, they're all equal at the beginning of the day. But at the end of the day, can you just imagine it? I mean, it was the same thing with Alexis up here. I feel so, you guys did it perfectly, right? How come he got more? What? We look at what God is doing, what the landowner is doing, being generous. And this is where the evil of covetousness comes into play. You see, when those workers looked at the people who had come at the end of the day and got paid the same as them who came at the beginning of the day, what they saw was evil, but was actually goodness. And that's what coveting is. It turns what is goodness in your eyes into evil. And that's what that phrase in Greek actually means. When the landowner says, why do you think badly of my generosity? The Greek phrase actually says, why do you look with evil eyes upon my goodness? Why do you look with evil eyes upon my goodness? And that's what's happened. That's what happens when we covet and we are jealous and we're ungrateful, is that we turn God's goodness into something that's evil in our eyes. And that's a lie. It's a lie we tell ourselves. When we look at somebody else's blessing, we say, that's not a blessing because I don't have it. That's a lie. And we're turning something that God made good into something bad. And that's why coveting is bad. That's why coveting is bad. Think about Jonah. Think about Jonah, right? Here's Jonah. Jonah is so honest. I love Jonah. His honesty is amazing. Because he's standing before God, and he says, God, I knew you were going to be gracious. I knew you were going to be merciful. It's like a Gary Larson cartoon. You ever see this Gary Larson cartoon, and God's sitting at his computer, and there's a picture on the computer of this guy walking, and there's like a piano hanging over him, and on the computer screen, and you see all the buttons on the keyboard, and God's sitting there, and right, his fingers right over a little button, and on that button in big capital letters is written, smite. That's what Jonah wanted. He says, God, press the smite button. Smite them down. Those Ninevites, they deserve smiting, not mercy. And so Jonah was angry. He said, I'm so angry, I want to die, God, because it's not fair. They don't deserve deliverance. They don't deserve forgiveness. Which is really funny, because if you think about it, about three pages earlier, Jonah was at the bottom of the sea in the belly of a whale praying to God, asking for what? Deliverance. And God gave it to him. And how soon he forgot. How soon he forgot. Oh, and it's the same way with us. Oh, it's the same way with me. How soon we forget. Think about that the next time you're on the freeway, right? And you're driving along, and you're getting on the entrance ramp, and you're trying to speed up, and there's a whole bunch of cars there, and you're like, why isn't anybody letting me in? They should let me in. And then about 15 minutes later, somebody else is getting on, and you're like, you should try to figure out how to speed up or slow down so we didn't have to let you in. How quickly we turn it around and forget the graciousness that we ourselves need and want when it comes to other people. We turn ourselves into the judge so fast, so fast. We want to hold the power to forgive and be merciful for other people instead of always keeping it in God's hands. Always keeping it in the landowner's hands, because God owns it all. And so when God decides to be gracious and merciful and generous, it's our job to say, thanks be to God. That's it. That's all we can do. Being grateful and being jealous are mutually exclusive. It's really, really, really hard to be griping and saying thank you at the same time. So we're going to end that way. That's what I want you to do. I want you to write down something on that bulletin that you're thankful for. What are you thankful for today? And I want you to think about it a little bit, too. Don't just write down whatever. Think about it. Think about something you're truly grateful for in your heart of hearts. Write that down. What are you thankful for? Think about all the ways that God is blessing you. And then, when you see God blessing other people and being merciful to them, you can say thanks be to God as well. Amen.